Our study today takes us into the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 12. Now, this is a chapter of great activity and forms a definite turning point in the history of the church. It commences with the names of three apostles who were associated definitely with the establishing of the church in Jerusalem, and it concludes with three names of men who were associated with the first definite missionary movement from the church at Antioch in Syria. The names at the beginning of the chapter are James and his brother John and Peter. The names at the end of the chapter are Barnabas, Saul, and John Mark. Now that John Mark becomes the man who wrote what we call the Gospel according to Mark. He was just a young man at this time, of course. Now, if you read down through the chapter, you'll discover that in the opening verses, we have persecution with its problems. That is followed with the idea of prayer with its power. Then as you come near the end of the chapter, there is pride with its punishment. And finally, at the end of the chapter, preaching with its progress. Now let me read the opening verses to you, and you'll see what I mean by persecution with its problems. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now let us pause there in our reading and examine a little this idea of persecution with its problems. Now as you have been reading through the Acts of the Apostles, we have taken note of the various times that the enemy has sought to persecute these Christians. Persecution, when it comes, brings problems with it. But we should always remember this, that no matter who the instrument is that is used, persecution is always the work of the enemy. To begin with, you will remember, they were persecuted by the Sadducees. The Sadducees were people who did not believe in the resurrection. And since these early Christians were preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Sadducees, who were a very powerful group in their day, persecuted them, wanted them silenced. And then they were also persecuted by the Pharisees. Even Saul of Tarsus, he was a Pharisee, and he was leading the persecution against them to begin with. And the reason that they persecuted them was because that they were preaching that this Jesus was the Messiah, and that the people had rejected him and put him on a cross. So the Pharisees said, he's going to bring this man's blood against us. So they were persecuted by them. Persecutions then came from religious sources, as I have indicated, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and also with the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin. But when you come to chapter 12 of the Acts of the Apostles, persecution now comes from the political or the state power. It's the political men who are persecuting them now. Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. You see, the devil will use any instrument that's willing to serve him. And it's an amazing thing how some people are willing to persecute others, and especially willing to persecute Christians. But remember, it's the work of the enemy. The Lord Jesus Christ indicated, when he mentioned the fact that he would build his church, he indicated that there would be a power that would be leveled against it, for he said, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," suggesting that the power of the devil would be let loose against the church. Remember, the devil let loose his power against Adam in the beginning. He also let loose against Abraham when God called him. He also let loose and persecuted the people of God known as the Hebrews, who afterwards are referred to as the Jews, that nation of Israel. He persecuted them. And then, of course, now when we come to the New Testament, we discover that he persecuted John the Baptist, who was the greatest of the prophets. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself was persecuted and put to death. And those who were preaching the glorious gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they were persecuted. And right down through church history, you will discover that wherever a work was being accomplished in the name of the Lord, the devil was active and would stir up someone to persecute the Christians. It's a blessing that in this land at the present time we have freedom, but we should bear in mind that they don't have this freedom in every land, and there are those even in this country who would like to take our freedom from us. Oh, they would like to silence the gospel preacher. I know there are those who would like to silence him so far as the preaching on the radio is concerned and on television. Oh, they would like to stop all this because they're opposed to it. And so they persecute. But remember, with regards to the persecution, there are problems. Now watch this very carefully. He took James, the brother of John, and killed him with a sword, beheaded him. Now remember this. James was one of the disciples. He had left his fishing career, as it were, in the Sea of Galilee and went out with the others to follow the Lord. He was one of those in the upper room. He was one of the early disciples. But there's no record of James ever accomplishing any great work. There's no record of James ever preaching any great sermon. No doubt he preached, but there's no record of it. No record of any of the miracles he performed. But the fact of the matter is, James was one of the 12. And here he is, before ever the church got a real commencement in the early days, he is a man who is put to death. Now you think of the years he might have served the Lord, but he wasn't permitted. And some folks say, well, why did God allow this? My friend, never question the will of God. James is martyred without any record of him accomplishing any great or outstanding work, while John, his brother, is spared to be perhaps the longest living of all the apostles. And John became the writer of 5 books in the New Testament. He wrote what we call the Gospel according to John. He wrote 3 letters called the First Epistle, Second Epistle, and Third Epistles of John. Then he wrote the last book of the Bible, the book called the Revelation. He wrote 5 of the books. While his brother James was put to death, John was allowed to live, and lived longer than any of the other apostles. And then Peter is imprisoned, and then delivered to continue with some further ministry. Now if God had wanted to deliver Peter, he could have delivered him the first night. He didn't do it. Peter was kept in prison for a few days, and it was only the night prior to the time when he was to be put to death that God stepped in and delivered him. Now try and relate these things to what you know today. There are a great number of things today that you cannot explain. No one can explain them, but we've got to accept them. Why is it that the devil is allowed to do his work? Why doesn't God come down, says someone, and just bind the devil right now? My friend, the devil will be bound when God's time comes. You and I are not here to question what God permits. But remember this, Go back to the Old Testament. Here was a man by the name of Job, a godly man, a God-fearing man, an upright man, a righteous man. Yet that's the man that became the target of the opposition of Satan. But remember, Satan could only touch Job up to the point that God permitted him. So we've got to bow to God's permissive will. God has reasons for these things, reasons that perhaps we don't understand, but we've got to accept it. I might say this, I have known in my lifetime some good men, men with a great ability, men who were doing a good work for God, outstanding preachers who died young. Have you ever heard of a man called Murray McChain? Long before our day, of course. But Murray McChain, his name has gone down in history. He died as a young man. But I also have known men who were outstanding preachers, and they died young. I could never understand it. Why is it that God allows such men to be taken away, and other men perhaps who are wasting their time, wasting their talents, and they just live on and on and on and accomplish little or nothing? Now, you can't explain these things. So it is, we've got to bow to what is the will of God. But now that brings us to something else. Wherever there is persecution, and it comes with its problems, and there's a lot of problems in life we've got to face, the next thing we look at is prayer with its power. While Peter was put in prison, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, here are four simple little things I want to mention to you now with regards to this prayer. And by the way, I may remind every listener that in a previous study I pointed out this, that as you read through the Acts of the Apostles, it's worthwhile taking note of every time mention is made of prayer. May I refresh your memories? In chapter 1, while they were waiting for the promise of the Father, they were meeting there in the upper room, and they're spending their time waiting and praying. And they had to wait 10 days. Special prayer meeting, you might say, for 10 days, waiting for the promise of the Father. In chapter 2, reference is made to the fact that they that gladly received his word were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, in the breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in the prayer, suggesting that the early church had a special gathering for the prayers. Then again, in chapter 3, you'll remember, when Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. In chapter 4, when they prayed, the place was shaken, and so on. But here, when you come to chapter 12, special prayer is being made here. It's not just ordinary prayer. You see, a special emergency has arisen. And because of this special emergency, they are going to engage in special prayer. Now, here you'll find unity and continuity in the prayer. That's the first thing I want you to note. Unity and continuity in the prayer. Because prayer was made without ceasing. That is, they continued praying. And it was ceasing, without ceasing, of the church. That is, there was unity. It wasn't just simply a matter of two people agreeing to pray for Peter. All the believers, the whole church, were united in this. Now, that doesn't mean that they were all gathered at the same time in the same place, but they were continuing. Perhaps there were some meeting in this house, some meeting in another house, but wherever two or three of them met, they were praying. And there seemed to be a continuity of prayer by day and by night for Peter. Peter was in real difficulties. This was a matter of interest for the whole church, and everyone was exercised regarding this special emergency and matter for prayer. Now, might I ask every listener today, can you recall a time when whatever church you're associated with, that a call was made, there was something special, there was an emergency and there was to be special prayer. We seldom hear today of special prayer meetings. I wonder how many of my listeners have ever been at an all-night prayer meeting where they started to pray at 10 o'clock at night and prayed on till about 4:30 in the morning because they were specially interested in a matter that called for special prayer, and God answered the prayer. Again, there was unity, the whole church. I wonder, my friend, when a prayer meeting is announced in your church, how many other members of your church arrive for that prayer meeting? I'll guarantee in most churches today, there's more people turn out for a business meeting than what turns out for a prayer meeting. This is where the church's weakness comes today, the lack of prayer. Where there is much prayer, there will be much power. Where there is little prayer, there will be little power. Where there is no prayer, there's no power. That's the reason they've got to introduce so many gimmicks, and they've got to organize so many things today, because we're failing to lay the matter before God. We've lost our grip, as it were, upon the power of God. Here then is the power of prayer. Churches need today to get restored, as it were. There needs to be revival. There needs to be a recovery of this great power in prayer. Then again, the prayer was answered. Notice this, there was perfect peace of mind and confidence with Peter. Notice what it says. Verse 6, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. I ask you in all fairness, my friend, if you were in prison and knew that tomorrow morning you were going to be brought out of your cell and put to death, would you go to sleep? Here's a man in perfect peace of mind. Not only with perfect peace of mind, but he's got absolute confidence in his God. While the believers prayed for Peter, it is obvious that God answered their prayers, and Peter resigned himself to the will of God. I would like to connect this little incident with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ on one occasion when he said to this very man, addressing him by his old name, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. You see, on the night of the betrayal, you remember Peter failed that night, how he denied his Lord. But we must remember that he repented, and he wept that night, wept bitter tears, and was fully restored to the Lord. But now here's another case. Peter's in real difficulty here. He's in prison, and the king has threatened that on a certain morning, after the Passover has gone, he wouldn't put him to death during a Jewish feast. That would irritate the Jews if they put him to... Oh, it's all right putting him to death any other time according to them, but you mustn't spoil the religious feast. And so they must wait till after the feast is over. And the very night, the last night, Peter is in prison. Surely the prayer of the Lord has been answered here, and the prayer of the Christians. You see, their prayer was in accordance with the Lord's mind. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. So they're praying likewise, praying for Peter. You see, that's what it says. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They were praying for Peter, and no doubt they were praying that he would be strengthened, that his faith wouldn't fail. And here's Peter, in answer to these prayers, he's in perfect peace of mind. He's got his confidence in God, and he goes to sleep. He's perfectly resigned to the will of God. Then I want you to notice something else related here with prayer. There is absolute authority and ability with God. Now, from the human point of view, the case was absolutely hopeless. Have you ever faced, my friend, what appeared to be a hopeless case? Here was Peter cast into prison, bound with chains, behind locked doors, and guarded by the soldiers. What could be done? Was there anyone could go in and deliver Peter? You see, but God had absolute authority. Prison bars, locked doors, and chains, and soldiers could not keep Peter in prison if God decided to bring him out. Let me remind you of another thing. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, they put his body in the tomb, and they put a stone in front of that sepulchre, and they sealed it with a Roman seal. No one would dare break that Roman seal. And they put Roman soldiers in front of the tomb to guard it. But the Roman seal and the Roman soldiers and the devil himself couldn't keep that body in the tomb. Christ arose with great power. The seal was broken, the stone was rolled away, the soldiers were like dead men. You see, there's absolute authority and ability with God. God has the authority, absolute authority. God has absolute ability. And on this night, these Christians were praying day by day, night by night for Peter, and the last night had come, and it was time. Now that reminds me then, the need for continuity in prayer. My friend, God may not answer your prayer the first day. God may not answer your prayer the first week. He may not answer your prayer the first year. The point is, if we're praying in the will of God, and we're praying according to the word of God, let us continue in prayer. May I ask you, is there anything you've been praying for a long time, and some days you wonder if it's worthwhile, and you're just about ready to give up? My friend, don't. There was unity and there was continuity in the prayer. And the very night came, and God intervened. And when God intervened, the chains fell off. The soldiers were helpless. And the prison door opened to allow Peter to walk out to his freedom. You see, here was the point. Now, Peter could hardly believe it himself. And notice, God sent an angel here. It's worthwhile noticing, in this particular passage, the ministry of angels. You see, he couldn't send a man in there, but he sent an angel in there. And prison doors couldn't keep the angel of God out. And the angel came in and smote Peter and told him to arise. He smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." "Plain words, you're going out, Peter." He did what he was told. He obeyed the word. He said, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." He went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And then he found himself out there in the place of freedom. And the first place he made for, when he found himself free, was this. He went to the place of prayer. Oh, my friend, he found himself at the place where they were praying. There was the complete overthrow and defeat of the enemy. In the morning there was confusion among the soldiers. There was passion with Herod. So he commanded the soldiers to be executed. My friend, there's great power in prayer. Do you know anything about it? Do you know the Lord?